This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Oh, man, what a day today. Battles over Doge on Capitol Hill. The effort to slash waste. Democrats screaming about a constitutional crisis. And a federal judge siding with Trump, so then probably another judge won't, so the Democrats can scream constitutional crisis even more. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Big announcement today at 5 o'clock on the show. All right? So stick with us at 5 o'clock today. Big announcement coming your way. A special, special show note. I can't get into specifics yet. However, I'll give you a hint. There's a chance that I may win back the silver platter that someone, and I'm not mentioning names, yanked out of my hands and gave to Dawn Stensland. That's all I'm going to say. All right? And I'll tell you more about that at 5 o'clock. Oh, and just a little update for you as we begin the show today. My surgery, which was scheduled for Friday, because of the thing that I'm going to announce at 5 o'clock, I'm rescheduling it to next Friday, which means I'll be on the air with you tomorrow. Still off on Friday, though, because obviously it's the Eagles parade and all that. But nevertheless, and then the surgery will be next week. So I appreciate all your thoughts and your prayers and your concerns for and everything else. But so that's the programming note. But I will be here tomorrow. OK, I was not going to be, but I'll be here tomorrow. And then next week is the surgery. And then at 5 o'clock, I'll make a big announcement about some place we're going to do the show live from, where I may have the opportunity to get a silver platter that I once had. That was mine. That was legitimately mine because it was given to me. And then somebody took it out of my hands after giving it to me and gave it to Dawn Stensland and gave me this puny little silver dish thing instead. And have I gotten over it? 6 years later? Nope. Clearly not. Obviously not. So if but I can't give any hints. All right. So good luck guessing. Good luck trying to figure that one out. All right. 855-839-1210 is the number today if you want to weigh in. We got a great show for you today. I don't even know what's lined up because I haven't looked at the show sheet. I've been in and out of. No, I have actually. I'm just kidding. But here's what I know. I know that I've been watching way too much C-SPAN today and my brain is hurting. But hey, Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. Bravo, Tulsi Gabbard. She got in there, baby. And only one Republican voted no. Mitch the Swamp Turtle McConnell. No surprise there, of course. But thank God she's in. I'm so excited. Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. And that's where I want to begin. I want to talk about Tulsi Gabbard for a moment. I want to talk about where we stand in this moment of American history at this very, very important time. President Trump is a disruptor. We know that. President Trump is the ultimate disruptor. But it goes deeper than any of us imagined in terms of what the ability of the deep state, what they were capable of doing to remove a sitting president of the United States of America. I am not exaggerating when I say this. I'm not making this up when I say this. You know me. I don't use hyperbole. So when I tell you that there was a coup d'etat in this country, there was a coup d'etat in this country. That's not me being cute. That's what literally happened. Michael Schellenberger tweeting out earlier today the following, quote, "Last week, we reported that the CIA and a USAID-run front group, OCCRP, were behind President Trump's 2019 impeachment. Now, a new investigation finds that USAID's OCCRP drove the Trump-Russia collusion hoax." This new investigation that was put out by Alex Gutentag, senior editor, public contributing editor of Compaq Mag, is it's amazing. USAID drove the Trump Russia hoax collusion. "And OCCRP's work is not political," said the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project last week, apparently in response to our story about its involvement in the 2019 impeachment of President Donald Trump. "OCCRP has recently become the target of a conspiracy theory," they say, "suggesting that we worked with one of our donors, USAID, to undermine President Trump during his first administration. That is simply untrue, and it's not how OCCRP operates. But the allegations in our report that USAID effectively created an overseas OCCRP are true." Senior managers at OCCRP, and I know, look, there's a lot of initials here, obviously. I don't refer to USAID as USAID because it's not aid. It's the United States Agency for International Development. It implies that we give aid, and we do under the cover of doing the bidding of the CIA. OCCRP is the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project. They created a central piece of evidence in a CIA analyst whistleblower complaint that resulted in the House of Representatives voting to impeach President Donald Trump in December of 2019. The Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project admits all of this in its response. Let me share that with you. Quote, here are the facts. "One of our stories was cited in a 2019 whistleblower complaint filed against President Donald Trump. The complaint then sparked his first impeachment. The Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project defended itself against accusations that it was part of a conspiracy by saying that story, like all stories we do, was reported without our donor's knowledge or input. We had no contact with the whistleblower and was unaware of the complaint until after it was reported by U.S. domestic media." The editor-in-chief of the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project published an article about how Hunter Biden's business partner, Devin Archer, had received millions from a reputed organized crime associate as evidence that they have no political bias. And Schellenberger points out that neither we nor any other media outlet claim that the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project had the direct input of USAID for its story, nor that it had any contact with the whistleblower. It's not clear that such communication would even be needed for USAID and the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project to participate in a scheme to develop evidence against President Trump for a supposedly impeachable offense. Let's understand what happened in this time period. Let's go to the Wayback Machine. Back when silver platters were stolen out of people's hands, all the way back to 2019. So President Trump calls up President Zelensky of Ukraine and says, "Hey, I want to get to the bottom of all this stuff with Joe Biden and the corruption and the firing of the prosecutor Burisma. Democrats freak out and they impeach Donald Trump and try to remove him from office for allegedly asking a foreign government to interfere in a presidential election. Now, what we all knew at the time was that this was a perfectly fine phone call, a perfect phone call, as President Trump said. Read the transcript. The Democrats were terrified, though, about what would be revealed, about the Biden corruption that was taking place in Ukraine. Remember, they were gearing up Joe Biden to run against Donald Trump for president. They were terrified that Bernie Sanders was going to get the nomination and that Bernie Sanders could maybe win. They had all kinds of things. They didn't want that. They had all kinds of things up their sleeves to try to stop President Trump from becoming president again. They wanted to remove him from office. So they go with this phony notion of Ukraine and this call with Zelensky to say that the president of the United States is asking a foreign government to interfere in a presidential election. Remember that? So what were they trying to cover up? Here's what they were trying to cover up. Well, the younger Biden, that's Hunter, had previously been involved with Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners. There is no evidence that he played a role in the M. Bloom Startup Fund deal. And Biden's lack of involvement after reviewing financial records, but the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project doesn't specify how they obtained those records. And despite the extensive evidence of influence peddling by the Bidens in countries routinely covered by the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, including Ukraine, that organization did not thoroughly investigate the Bidens. The Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project describes itself as a cost-effective arm of the U.S. government's anti-corruption efforts, writing that, quote, our stories have helped return more than $11 billion to public coffers through seizures and fines, and that the OCCRP has brought in at least 10 times more money to the U.S. government than it has received in grants. But, as Michael Schellenberger points out, if it's an arm of the U.S. government, it's one that was weaponized against Trump. A new report, a new investigation shows that the Office of Crime and Corruption Reporting Project played a significant role in developing the narrative that Trump and his associates had ties to Russian banking and Russian money laundering, as well as other undisclosed conflicts of interest with Russia. So understand exactly what took place here. The United States Agency for International Development funds this corrupt organization that's supposed to be rooting out corruption called the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project. They feed the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. They don't investigate the Bidens. They use a whistleblower to accuse President Trump of trying to use a foreign government to interfere in the 2020 election, which ultimately leads to his impeachment, which ultimately is the efforts by Democrats to try to remove him from office or at least stain him with impeachment so that he's not reelected president of the United States. And because they did not investigate the Bidens and their corruption, and because the truth about Ukraine was not allowed to go forward because the Democrats were so terrified that they impeached the president of the United States to stop it, when the Hunter Biden laptop story broke in 2020, October of 2020, even though the FBI had the laptop, even though the FBI knew the laptop was real, the 51 former national security officials, hacks, deep state hacks, were ready to go with this letter that was spearheaded by the Central Intelligence Agency saying that it had all the hallmarks, earmarks of Russian disinformation. In fact, the Hunter Biden laptop was the truth of the corruption involving Hunter Biden, Rosemont Seneca Partners, 10% for the big guy, and Ukraine, everything that the Democrats were worried about coming out if Zelensky were to give the goods over. And, you know, I got to wonder, the deals that were struck between the Democrats and Ukraine, one of the second most corrupt country in the world, right behind Russia. So I kind of wonder, you know, is it sort of a thing of like, make sure this all gets buried and then this way we don't have to worry anything pesky about Joe Biden coming out, because we're going with this whole thing that Joe Biden is this kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. And speaking of COVID, we also know that the United States Agency for International Development funded the creation of COVID-19. We know that. in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. We know that COVID was released from that lab in the fall of 2019 when the United States military was over there for the Military World Games. Was COVID deliberately released by the Chinese government to try to bring down President Trump because he was actually holding China accountable vis-a-vis tariffs? We'll never know because the evidence isn't there, but we do know that all of this seems to be very coincidental. The other part of this that is highly coincidental is that the United States Agency for International Development was also giving money to Ukraine throughout the entire process of the war. And the United States Agency for International Development was also giving money to all these other NGOs that were also funneling money to Ukraine throughout the course of this Russia-Ukraine war. We know that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was blown up by the United States of America, as was reported by the excellent journalist Seymour Hersh. We don't know where the money came from, but how much you want to bet if, when all this comes out, USAID's fingerprints are on some way the money got to somebody to somehow who got the yachts there to drop the dynamite onto the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to blow it up. In other words, all these dots are beginning to connect here, which you can understand why they decided they had to remove President Donald Trump from the presidency. The level of corruption involved here in not only trying to stop him from getting elected in the first place by the creation of this dossier and the Russia collusion narrative, which we now understand the Russia collusion narrative was done with the help of the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project funded by the United States Agency for International Development. And we understand that. And then all throughout Trump's presidency, and then the Ukraine stuff, and USAID's fingerprints are on that, and the Office of Crime and Corruption Reporting Project's fingerprints are on that, and then ultimately COVID-19 comes out, and USAID's fingerprints are on that. Did you see the way the deep state is able to operate here? And again, if all of this was in a movie or a book, and I went to a publisher, and I had this novel, and I had this great idea of this agency that was supposedly there to give, I don't know, all the kids in the Sally Struthers commercials with the big bellies, you know, those poor skinny kids with the big bellies, to give them food and vaccines and running water and all the other things. But actually, this agency, in addition to doing all that, was also doing all of this deep state bidding stuff to try to bring down a president. They'd be like, that's a stupid plot idea. Nobody's going to believe that. It's not possible. It never really could happen. Michael Schellenberger is an esteemed journalist. He's actually one of the, I think, best journalists out there today. Schellenberger, of course, was silenced during COVID for his revelations about COVID-19. Silenced for his revelations about the Hunter Biden laptop. Silenced for so many different things, because that's what they do to you, of course. They try to shut you down. One of the activist judges blocking President Trump's agenda is a person named Judge John Bates, married to the founder of a USAID-funded NGO. Carol Reese is a Democrat lawyer who started Hope for Children in Ethiopia, a longtime USAID grant recipient. Elon Musk points out the following. I bet that very little, maybe none of that money, actually reached kids in Ethiopia. That's another thing that I mentioned to you on the show the other day. I said, how much of this money actually gets into the hands of the people that need it, or is just done to buy off dictators so that the CIA can funnel money to bad guys and under the guise of helping the kids in the Sally Struthers commercial? And really, in the South Park, she was eating all the food. You know what I mean? Like in the South Park version of that, Sally Struthers was eating all the food. But I think it's like the Ethiopian king or government or whatever it is. They're embezzling all the money. Yeah, the kids get some of it. But how much of it was actually reaching the poor Ethiopian children? The nature of the NGO scams is, you have a cause that sounds philanthropic, like Save the Orphans of Sadville. They pocket the money and zero actual orphans are helped. Now, we all thought this was a joke that George Costanza created with the Human Fund. And, you know, in George Costanza's defense, the Human Fund was a pretty legit scam. But actually, these NGOs through USAID funding, have been doing this for a very, very long time. And it's like, we'll keep a dictator in power, we'll cover up foreign corruption, we'll cover up foreign corruption that ties into the White House of President Barack Obama and his vice president, Joe Biden. We'll bury that corruption. We'll make up corruption surrounding the sitting president of the United States to try to remove him from office. Meanwhile, burying the actual real corruption surrounding the former vice president, who was corrupt when he was vice president with the knowledge of the president of the United States at the time. But we'll cover all that up so that this guy can get elected president as the kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. But actually, what we're doing is we're keeping ourselves safe from this guy exposing all of this in the deep state so that this gravy train can run. Because in addition to all these NGOs paying off dictators and very, very bad people around the world, a lot of this money is also going to military contractors. And there's always a little, as my people call it, a little, I got to wet my beak. I got to wet my beak. Everything comes down back to the Godfather, really, truly in life. It's like a poster in a college dorm room. Everything in life I learned from the Godfather. In this case, Don Fanucci, and I gotta wet my beak. And what a way to wet beaks, am I right? I can't wait till Tulsi Gabbard can fully expose all of this. I can't wait till Kash Patel can fully expose all of this. I can't wait till Attorney General Pam Bondi has the help of them to help expose all of this. I just can't wait. It's so, so good. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It kind of fits my mood today. Now that I know I'm not getting surgery Friday. And I'll be going to someplace next week. Well, let me get that I can't tell you till 5 o'clock where I'm going. Oh, we can't roll another joint, though. Well, actually, you can. It's legal now. Look at that. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. I want to read a listener note. This is from Gary. Let's see. Gary said the following. Hey, Rich. Great show. I heard you say on Jimmy Fallon's show that Nick Sirianni is the first Italian-American to win the Super Bowl, except that Vince Lombardi won Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II. Yeah, Gary, that's very true. First of all, never listen to me when anything with sports. Nothing. Nothing. Never. I don't know what I'm talking about. I pull things out of my you-know-what when it comes to sports. In politics, I'm always right, but sports, no idea. And so somebody probably said something similar to that, and I heard it, and I just repeated it, and I don't know. Anyway, sorry about that. Yeah, it's the Lombardi Trophy. Like, I probably should have paid attention to that. Eagles Parade is on Friday. It's going to be a crazy day of mayhem. We are going to be broadcasting, not we, but Talk Radio 1210 WPHG, special broadcast for the parade all day throughout the course of the day. That's going to be a lot of fun. That'll be great. And it's just a great week. So Tulsi Gabbard confirmed as Director of National Intelligence. I'm so excited. I posted a picture of me and Tulsi on Instagram and Facebook today. She's fantastic. She's fantastic. And I'm very excited that this very optimistic, positive, happy warrior for liberty will be looking closely at our nation's secrets and our intelligence community and telling the President of the United States the truth. And not what the war industrial complex wants him to hear, but the actual truth. And I think that that is excellent for our country. It's an excellent development. Now, I have a bunch of audio clips for you today. We are streaming live on YouTube. We had a camera issue, but it's working right now. So you can join us for that. And a little bit later in the show today, I'll give you a special announcement regarding something special. Later in the show today, I want to begin with a little bit of Caroline Leavitt. She had a White House press conference earlier today, just a little bit before we got on the air today. Did a great job. Democrats are screaming about a constitutional crisis, over and over and over again. Actually, let's start with Pam Bondi. Constitutional crisis. We keep hearing this all the time. Constitutional crisis. They allege that President Trump is not following the judges. So once again, they're doing the little boy who cried wolf thing. They're all going out there and saying the same thing, repeating themselves. Even Count Grandstangelo, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band. This is a constitutional crisis. They have no evidence to any of this. They can't point to anything. They literally have nothing to back this up. But their notion is, well, if a federal judge says President Trump can't do something, well, then if President Trump doesn't immediately listen to that federal judge, it's a constitutional crisis. And as I've told you before, that's not how this process works. Another federal judge today, President Trump can go ahead and do it. And another federal judge may tell that judge that may tell the president that he can't do it. And ultimately, this will be decided by the United States Supreme Court. And President Trump said in the Oval Office yesterday, of course, I'm going to respect the rulings of the court. And we're going to file an appeal. But that didn't stop Democrats from screaming about the fact that there's a constitutional crisis going on. That didn't stop them. They kept going with that. Because they love it. Makes them so happy. The real constitutional crisis is the fact that you have these unelected judges. These are federal judges who are trying to stop the executive from doing his duly elected duties as the head of the executive branch of government. That's the real constitutional crisis that is playing out right now before us. But I'm not going to scream constitutional crisis because I know ultimately it's going to be resolved by the United States Supreme Court. Here's the Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, cut number 8.
We have so many unelected judges who are trying to control government spending, and there is a clear separation of powers. You know, they're doing it to Elon Musk, who is a great man and a good friend at Doge. What they're doing to him is to our country is outrageous. You know, people work their whole lives and pay taxes, yet they find out that they've been giving $2 million to Guatemala for sex changes. It's outrageous, and it's going to stop. We're going to fight back, not only with USAID and all these other agencies, but, you know, this is happening every day. But DOJ, we are prepared to defend all of these cases, and we will carry out President Trump's agenda.
Now, yesterday, I got a message from Jimmy Matthews. Now, I love me some Jimmy Matthews. Let me just say, I love me some Jimmy Matthews Jr. Because I get a lot of haters out there. Jimmy Matthews may be on the other side of the aisle. That's okay. He did what he said he would do. He ran up the steps of the Art Museum steps with his MAGA hat on after President Trump won the election. Jimmy Matthews, I'm just going to give you this advice. Stop falling for everything you hear, all right? He says to me yesterday, he goes, you are such a defender of freedom of speech. It's one of the things we love about you, Rich. Well, the White House barred an Associated Press reporter from the Oval Office. How can you stand by and allow that to occur? How can you stand there and allow that to be the case? Huh? How can you do that? CNN's Caitlin Collins claimed that the White House barred this AP reporter from the Oval Office. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt set her straight on this. Cut 29.
Thank you. Which White House official made the decision to bar the AP reporter from the Oval Office and the diplomatic reception room last night?
Well, first of all, let me just set the record straight. It is a privilege to cover this White House. It's a privilege to be the White House press secretary. And nobody has the right to go into the Oval Office and ask the President of the United States questions. That's an invitation that is given. And there are hundreds of outlets on this campus, many of you in this room who don't have the privilege of being part of that pool every single day and getting to ask the president questions. We reserve the right to decide who gets to go into the Oval Office, and you all have credentials to be here, including the Associated Press, who is in this briefing room today.
But isn't it retaliatory in nature is the argument, because the reason that the AP was barred, which they said was because they're not using the phrase Gulf of America, they're using Gulf of Mexico in line with their standards. And so the question here is this setting a precedent that this White House will retaliate against reporters who don't use the language that you guys believe reporters should use? And how does that align with the First Amendment commitment that you were just talking about?
I was very upfront in my briefing on day one that if we feel that there are lies being pushed by outlets in this room, we are going to hold those lies accountable. And it is a fact that the body of water off the coast of Louisiana is called the Gulf of America. And I'm not sure why news outlets don't want to call it that, but that is what it is. The Secretary of Interior has made that the official designation in the geographical identification name server, and Apple has recognized that. Google has recognized that. Pretty much every other outlet in this room has recognized that body of water as the Gulf of America, and it's very important to this administration that we get that right, not just for people here at home, but also for the rest of the world.
Did you catch the part where she said the AP's in the room right now? Did you catch that part? She said you all have credentials, and some of you get to go in the Oval Office and some of you don't. The Oval Office isn't that big. I've been in the Oval Office before. Maybe I'll be in the Oval Office again someday. Who knows? But it's not that big of a room. It looks big on TV. It looks bigger on TV and in movies. It really does, especially in most movies because they make it look big. But there's only so much space. But her point was, the AP is literally in the room right now. They're right here. They're right there. But the broader point of why the AP is not going along with calling it the Gulf of America, why aren't they calling it the Gulf of America? I'm curious about that. When President Biden designated Mount McKinley as Mount whatever it was till they changed the name of it back, Denali. The Associated Press reported it as Mount Denali. Which was the right thing to do because they designated it as Mount Denali. So my question is, why is it the standard of the Associated Press, which makes the style book and sets the rules that all the other journalists are supposed to? And also, I get all of the press notes from the White House. The AP is constantly the pool reporter, typically the pool reporter, as it's known, or the photog report, the photography pool or something. The AP, nobody's putting the AP in journalists internment camp anytime soon. The hysteria here, but when Biden designated Mount McKinley as Mount Denali, why, and they ran with that as Mount Denali, then if they didn't, would that have been okay? No, of course not. Just like how they should be calling it the Gulf of America right now because President Trump has designated it as the Gulf of America. And that's just how the game goes. Now look, I'm not a big fan of this back and forth thing because it's kind of like pickleball and it's tough to follow and it's overrated. And it'd be nice if we stopped doing this every 4 years. Like, we like Cuba, we don't like Cuba. It's Mount Denali, it's Mount McKinley. It's Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico. But the real question with the Gulf of Mexico is, the formerly known Gulf of Mexico, is there an American president who's going to change it back to the Gulf of Mexico? I mean, what does that look like? Think about that for a second. Like, it's one thing to change McKinley back to Denali, and I'm sure that they'll do that back and forth because they'll recognize the indigenous people, and they do that. You know, but is there really going to be an American president that changes the name of the Gulf of America back to the Gulf of Mexico? Think about that for a moment. I get the whole thing. It's like, you can get Cuban cigars, and then you can't get Cuban cigars. And it's frustrating. And so when I was in Mexico, I had to Google it and figure out. And then it turned out in 2020, President Trump took away my ability to get Cuban cigars. which I may bring up with him at some point if I ever see him again. Not that I may ever see him again. And if I was going to see him again, I certainly wouldn't tell you about that unless I had a big announcement to make. Oh, and by the way, I have a big announcement to make later in the show today. But you can't keep up with all this stuff. So you got to Google it. I'm in the airport in freaking Cancun going, can I bring Cuban cigars back to America? I don't even know. Can I? Back and forth, back and forth. But what Democrat president, out of curiosity, is just going to turn around and say, you know what, as president of the United States of America, we're not going to keep it as Gulf of America. We're going to change it back to the Gulf of Mexico. Who's going to do that? I mean, the answer is some lefty whack job will do it. They probably will. Just like Carter gave away the Panama Canal. I mean, there's nothing Democrats are not capable of, but that will be a moment where the American people will have had 4 years. Like, let's just say hypothetically in 2028, because every Democrat will get asked that, and they'll all say the same thing. We're going to go back to the Gulf of Mexico. This is furthering America's colonialist, imperialist stance and blah, 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 blah. The argument being made, of course, is that a big portion of the Gulf of America is in the United States of America. So why is it the Gulf of Mexico anyway? But they'll all say that to sound woke. It's the woke Olympics when you run for president in the Democrat primary, which is why Kamala Harris at one point said she would pay for transgender surgeries of biological men who go to women's prisons, which ultimately was one of the most devastating commercials that they made against her in the election. But when the American people have 4 years of pilots going, ladies and gentlemen, we're flying over the Gulf of America, when they book Vrbo's and Airbnbs on the Gulf of America, when they go their spring break on the Gulf of America, all these years, and then an American president changes it back to the Gulf of Mexico, how's that going to go over with the American people? Not too good. I bet you. Doesn't go over too well, good, whatever you say, good, well, I don't care, it doesn't matter. It's not good. Not too good. That's my prediction. Because the American people, believe it or not, except with the exception of the left that hates this country and thinks that we're the worst, which is why everybody should be allowed to come here because we're such a horrible place. American people actually do have a lot of pride in America. And they like the fact that it's called the Gulf of America. And by the way, Mexico's welcome to call it whatever the hell Mexico wants to call it. I have news for you. We don't control Mexico. So if in Mexico they want to call it the Gulf of Mexico, let them call it the Gulf of Mexico. I don't really care. I don't care what they call it. But for America's purposes, the body of water that exists that touches several American states, including Louisiana, Texas, and Florida, will be known as the Gulf of America. Like, that's a good thing. And the AP, which is always recognized when presidents make these changes in the AP style book, should do the same with this. Their reluctance to do so is nothing more than them being a bunch of D-bags. There's no other way to explain it other than that. So they got a little slap and weren't allowed into the Oval Office. Oh, boo friggity who. I'd like to be invited into the Oval Office. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I'm not sitting here freaking crying about it, though. Like, if hypothetically speaking, I was going to do a White House media row and I didn't get asked to go to the Oval Office to interview the president, I'm not going to do like, oh, my God, my constitutional rights have been trampled on. Where's the freedom of speech? Why does this president hate the First Amendment? I'm just going to put my big boy pants on and go drink at a bar down the street. But I just found it ironic as Caroline Leavitt saying all that, and the AP is literally in the room. She's like, they're right there. Not in journalist internment camp on the South Lawn of the White House. That is reserved exclusively for Jim Acosta. Solitary confinement in now ex-journalist internment camp since he doesn't have a job anymore. But you know what I mean. In fact, they named it after him. It is the Jim Acosta Journalist Internment Camp, and he's the only one in it. Special designation reserved for him. And that is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanari of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariA, VanariaDental.com. Caroline Leavitt responding to the nonsense about a constitutional crisis. This is what she said to all the hysteria of the left. Cut 25.
Before I take questions, I would like to address an extremely dishonest narrative that we've seen emerging over the past few days. Many outlets in this room have been fear-mongering the American people into believing there is a constitutional crisis taking place here at the White House. I've been hearing those words a lot lately. But in fact, the real constitutional crisis is taking place within our judicial branch, where district court judges in liberal districts across the country are abusing their power to unilaterally block President Trump's basic executive authority. We believe these judges are acting as judicial activists rather than honest arbiters of the law. And they have issued at least 12 injunctions against this administration in the past 14 days, often without citing any evidence or grounds for their lawsuits. This is part of a larger concerted effort by Democrat activists and nothing more than the continuation of the weaponization of justice against President Trump. Quick news flash to these liberal judges who are supporting their obstructionist efforts. 77 million Americans voted to elect this president. And each injunction is an abuse of the rule of law and an attempt to thwart the will of the people. As the president clearly stated in the Oval Office yesterday, we will comply with the law in the courts, but we will also continue to seek every legal remedy to ultimately overturn these radical injunctions and ensure President Trump's policies can be enacted.
Well said, my friend Caroline Leavitt. Well said. I hope I get to see you soon someday. Maybe I will. Who knows? But if I don't, I'm not going to scream that the First Amendment has been trampled on, that the Constitution doesn't exist. I may say it's like a little rude since I thought we were buds and all, but I'm not going to cry about it. I'll just go down to the bar and drink like a big boy. All right? And maybe I'll see you soon. Who knows? You never know how these things go. By the way, big announcement at 5 o'clock today. Make an announcement at 5 about something special we're going to be doing next week. Matt DeSantis, did you get that form I sent you, by the way?
I did get it, and it is submitted, and we should be good.
All right, good. That form which I had to submit, which had lots of personal information on it.
Yeah, this announcement is going to be anticlimactic if you keep giving all these clues.
We have a private, Bridget and I have this longstanding joke in my house that I have no ability to keep a secret. So, I can't. I have the worst, but I can't keep a secret. So I was going to surprise Patrick tomorrow. Not anymore because I'm working tomorrow, but I was going to surprise him tomorrow and take him out of school the day before my surgery and do a guy's day with him because originally we were going to go to Clearwater. And since the surgery, I can't take him to Clearwater. It was going to be me and him and Papa Zioli second year in a row to go to Clearwater and see the Phils, right? But we can't do that. And so what I was going to do was take him out of school tomorrow, have a guy's day, you know, me and him, and just spend the day together. And I booked a bunch of things for us, and I told Bridget about it, and she said, you should tell him the day of and surprise him. He'll be so excited. Literally the next morning over breakfast, I was like, buddy, guess what I did last night? 2 weeks from now, I'm pulling you out of school, and we're going to these things. She just put her head in her hand and went, you cannot. You're incapable. I am. I'm like a child. I can't help myself.
Yeah, I mean, the 5 o'clock announcement, I think by then 95% of our audience will have already guessed what the announcement in fact is.
Now, that form that you submitted, well, I'm not going to say the name of the form. I'm just going to say, did you wave at anybody when you submitted the form?
Yeah, I waved a lot.
Good. Did you know, by the way, funny story, that the White House uses a form called WAVES, the White House Access Visitor? That's just a side note to the form that you filled out over there. Wait, what happened? Oh, I see people on social Twitter trying to guess where I'm going. EJ got it right. EJ Stokes got it right. Well said. Rich, no need for any more clues, Rich. You'll be broadcasting from Larry's House of Silver Platters. Tell Larry I said hello. Well said. Well done. You did it.
EJ is great. Love EJ.
I have no ability. You know the experiment they did with kids, and they had the second cupcake, and they were like, you have to wait to eat the second cupcake. And the kids who could wait, there was this whole thing when they followed them into adulthood. They had more discipline or everything. Me and my daughter, Reagan, we're the ones who eat the second cupcake right then and there. There's no waiting. There's no... Nope. Nope. I'm eating the cupcake, all right?
Yeah, I mean, when you got on air, I figured you were going to mention it at some point today. Yeah. You teased a big announcement at 5 o'clock, and I thought, oh, wow, he's going to be able to, you know, not say anything for three full hours. But then, like, 30 seconds later, you basically gave everything away.
I don't think that's true. How many people know the story about the platter with Dawn anyway? People are going to be like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I feel like they're going to put things together.
And dropping and saying things like, maybe I'll be in the Oval Office again. Maybe I won't. Or maybe I'll see Caroline Leavitt again. Or maybe I won't. I mean, that's just saying things. You know?
That's true. The Oval Office could be literally anywhere.
Thank you, Matt DeSantis. It could be anywhere is exactly my point.
There's lots of offices that are oval in shape.
Correct. Now, if I were to go and do something like that, I'm going to try really hard not to ask the president if I can go to the White House Easter egg roll, because I think that'd be incredibly inappropriate and immature. I'll see if I can restrain myself for that. Not that that's what I'm doing. I'm just saying I would try really, really hard to not do that.
If you were unsuccessful in restraining yourself, I think you should also double down and see if I could attend the Easter egg roll as well.
If that conversation ever took place, I would just love to see the look on his face when he looks at me and says, are you really asking me that question right now? You could be asking all these other people that question. We'd be happy to accommodate you. You know, like your friends. Well, you all know who work here. I'm sure they'd be happy to help you out with that. You're really asking me that question. All right. Should I break now? Should I keep going? What do you want me to do here? Because as usual, I went late.
For the love of God, please break.
All right. Sean, by the way, I hear like a staticky thing in my ears. What is that? Do you know?
No, I don't know what that is, but I could try to figure it out for you.
All right. If anyone can, it's you, my man. You can figure that out. It's like a staticky low hum thing in my ears, and nothing's changed on my end. But if we can figure that out, that'd be great. All right. Quick break. Big announcement at 5 o'clock. Special broadcast next week. Not telling you where. Certainly not giving you any clues. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, that was a long segment, so I got to do a quick turnaround here. I need to put a little powder on my nose. It looks a little red. I'm gonna cover the camera up with something. I'm going to try to not... I'm just going to cover the camera. Anyway, I got a big announcement at 5 o'clock today of where I'm going to be doing the show next week. I'm not going to give any clues or details. But let me just find this manila envelope here to just put in front of the camera to block my face until I get to put some powder on my nose, Matt DeSantis. That way, you know what I mean? Just to hide my face for a moment. So, do that. And big 4 o'clock hour coming up. We got more Caroline Leavitt. We have, what else do we have? We've got, what else do we have? Oh, we got a guest. We got guests coming up. We got all kinds of things coming up. Big announcement at 5 o'clock. And the president of the United States of America, Donald Trump, responding to the lunacy of the left. Now, I'm going to explain to you what's happening with these judges and why he is, quote unquote, complying with the courts. I'll explain exactly what's happening here upon my return. So big 4 o'clock hour for you. I want you to keep one thing in mind throughout the show today. The left's hysteria over constitutional crisis is ultimately going to be their undoing again. They've learned no lessons, and they will continue to scream dictator and fascist from the mountain. The American people have had it with them, and they are sick and tired of hearing it. And by the way, it doesn't work. But you have not heard anything until you hear the song they put together, all but guaranteeing they will never be a majority party ever again. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.